Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
He bowled up at me face to face and like, bless God, don't tell me nothing, preacher. I got saved when I was 12 years old. Well, saved people ain't in immorality. Saved people ain't whoremongers. Saved people ain't in the filth that would be in the flesh. So the preacher had a reason to contest with them and to bring him to a thing. See, that's what the man of God needs to do. He needs to stand up against sin and stand up against immorality. You know they're sin of God because they turn people away from their sin. It would have been easy to get on a religious hobby horse with him. Oh, yeah, thank God for Jesus and His bloodshed. We have an advocate with the Father that when we sin, that He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin. But let's don't forget line upon line and precept upon precept. The Word of God says when you have a knowledge of the truth, if He did come to a knowledge at 12 years old and you know and tasted of that world to come, if He did have that experience, He's not going to be out there in willful immorality and sin. There ain't a son of God, brothers and sisters, that's in the house of ill repute. There's not a son of God that's sitting in the bars. There's not. It ain't happening. It isn't there. They don't find themselves at those places. You might find a man that bore knowledge of God through the predestination might be in some of those things, and he might be doing that, but he will come out of those things. The Bible said, come out of that unclean thing. Come out of that world. The Bible said, friendship with the world is hatred towards God. It's adultery, brothers and sisters, when you have the love of the world in your heart. And the thing is when you're full of the Holy Ghost, you are going to despise the things of evil, the things of the world, the immoralities of this world. You will find no fellowship within darkness. When you find yourself, brothers and sisters, as a child of God, you will not fellowship immorality in darkness. You find an uncleanness. You find something grieving you in your heart. You find something that you want to separate from when you hear the filth coming out of their mouth and all the immoralities and the things that they want to talk about and stuff. If you want to sit and dwell on that and talk about their filth and about the things they're doing when they're out in the bars and the things that they're doing when they're out partying, it just shows that you're unclean. It shows that you are desiring to hear those things of immorality. A man of God don't want to hear that. A true child of God, a true Christian don't want to hear that. He don't want to hear the slop. You know, it's no more you might like bacon and you might like to eat pork chops, but you don't want to go out there and sniff around in the stench of the pig pen. You don't want to smell the mire of the old hog. You understand that? And you might be eating some of that, but you don't want to smell the filth of it. And you might be, as a saint of God, as one that is still in this world, occupying until He comes, being about the Father's business, but nowhere, even the child that went out and went back out, it said that he desired to eat of the husk. But he didn't eat of it. It said there was a desire to, but he did not do it. He did not eat of it. So God protected him from it. There is nowhere in the Scriptures, to my understanding, where a born-again child of God is going to be out there in the swine and in the hog pit. It ain't going to happen. And you think, well, that's what the blood's for. No, the blood was for to give you a time in grace. The blood was there to hold the wrath of God back from just casting you headlong into the flames of hell and myself. That's what the grace of God is there. The grace of God is there to hold back the wrath of God for a dispensational season that you could hear good when good comes. The wrath of God is held back for you could consider the Word. The wrath of God is held back for you could press into the things of God and pressing your way into the kingdom of God. So the blood is there just to hold back what God is, a just, righteous, holy God. It's to hold back the judgment that would come on you by God Himself, because His judgment is just and it's righteous and it's right. So again, the Bible says judgment begins in the house of God. So this wrath of God is held back and the judgment comes through the preaching of the Word of God. The fiery indignation of God comes forth from a holy God-filled minister of God's turning people away from their sin. And that's why it's presenting in the dispensation of grace. And if you have ears to hear, you'll hear the judgment and the wrath coming to you through the sacred desk and you'll say, my God, I need to repent. My God, I need to make changes. My God, I need to press in. But if you don't receive and you don't hear that, then the thing is, you will most definitely hear when you're raised up out of death. When you're raised up to stand before that second death, and He says, I never knew you. And you're cast headlong into the eternal flames of hell with Satan and all of his fallen angels, and you're going to be cast headlong into that. It's time to take heed and hear the voice of God today. You might think, well, I'm just going to go ahead and use up my youth and frolic in my youth. And you know, before I grow old or before I pass on, well, I'm going to go ahead and repent and do that. The Bible said, serve Him in your youth. We need to serve God now. We need to give Him him a sacrifice now. The Bible says that our body is a living sacrifice. That's our reasonable service. We need to give him this life, every breath, every thought, everything, and give that to him now. And then that is a sacrifice that we could make unto eternal life by giving this life. Jesus had to do it. And if he had to do it, the Bible says, what makes you think anymore what he will do unto you? Amen. If it was done to his own son. So brothers and sisters, take this life and give it. Sacrifice it. Give it to God. Every fiber of it, every breath of it, every thought of it, every muscle, every action and everything. Give it unto God and surrender to him. That's how you find life. Try to save your life. And the Bible says you'll lose it. But you have to give it. You got to give every single bit of it. There's no room for you in your thoughts. There's no room for your ideas in the kingdom of God. God's a righteous, just God. There's one mind making decisions in the kingdom of God, and that's his mind and it's his thoughts. There's no room for your ideas and your ways and the way you perceive it, the way you think it should be. Who are you? You're a little speck of nothing crying out on a little speck of nothing floating around in all the universe. And what makes you think that you'd even have a voice? Could you imagine picking up a grain of sand out on the seashore and picking up, say, this is the one. This is the grain of sand right here. This is the one that's greater than all other grains of sand. And this is the one that we're going to use for an example of what a grain of sand is. That's the way it is with you if we think that we're going to take you and use you as an example or use you as this one. It's the same way. If you could even think that God will hear your voice when you cry out, then I'd say that the only way that he will is because that you have become a child of the King, and his ears are attentive to a blood-bought child of God, and his prayers, requests, and things are heard ever before you ever even speak them, and the petitions are granted unto you ever before they're ever spoken as a child of God. So how is it, and where does this work at, and how does it lie when we're thinking of the eternal heavenlies, and when we're thinking of the kingdom of God? And we're thinking, well, what is it that we do if we're saved while we were still yet in our sins? If he heard our prayers and we were saved before the foundation of the world, and he answers our prayers, then where do we fall into this place and how does it happen? All things are ordained of God and he has his way in all things. Where do you fit in those things? Are you one that's hardening people's hearts because God has done that to you? Has God hardened you in such a way that you're going to be utilized of the work of Satan? Has God made you such a way as that? Do you have to come through some kind of mishap within your family to get into awakening experience? Some might be like Sam, have to go to prison to get shook a little bit, opened up. Some might be like Terry and Lori, where there has to be some sort of a mishap happen in their life to get them shook up and to get them on course and get them out of the religious vomit that they rolled around in for many, many years. Just a stench in the nostrils of God, but ever so religious, ever being so guilty, just like the Jews, of putting to death the Lord Jesus himself. You understand that? Because it was just religious. What about myself? I was there. You understand, as in my search and seeking after God, getting caught away in just a religious way and religious formalities and traveling like a man beating at the air and running and beating at the air. As we read right here within the scriptures this morning, scripture I might wanted to point out where it said, says, brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to the knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto righteousness of God. Can we apply that today, brothers and sisters, in this present day and hour? Number one, we should be able to take that and apply it to each and every one of our own lives. We should be able to rend the veil between the religious organizations and religious world, and we should be able to see that and apply it within the earth today. You see, a zeal to send men overseas, to send missionaries into the world. And the Bible said they surpass land and sea and make twofold more the child of hell. We should be able to see that and understand it when we look out into the denominational churches and the denominational church world. We should be able to see that scripture in manifestation today in the flesh. But we should be able to bring that and make an application within our own life. Everything fits when you bring in your own life. You're bringing into the soul realm and into the physical realm, and you're going to see the scriptures applied within you, in your thoughts and everything about you, and it separates you from anybody and everything, and it's all dealing with you, dealing with your thoughts, dealing with the way you see, the way you believe, the way everything about you. And then we could separate and we could see it into a religious order of time, or we could look back into the shadows and see a religious people, the Jews. Why are you God's chosen? Why are you God's elect? Why would it be? They are God's chosen and God's elect. We know that. Nobody's going to dispute with that. We do absolutely understand and know that, but look at the wretchedness and the foolishness of the things that have happened within the Israeli people. Look at all of the wars and all of the things that have taken place there in the Middle East and all the upheaval and the uprisings. And they're saying, well, this is the Christians and this one is the Serbs or whatever. And they call them holy wars. And all of this is going on and it's all because of the word and it's because of religion and religious people. And we say, well, they are God's elect and they are. And God's having his way in all of these things. But what is it for you and I? When we come down into the scriptures and we come to find out that we being a Gentile, being birthed outside this natural blood seed, and then we find out that the true Jew or the true spiritual elect is we, that when we're born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. So then we find that we're rending the veil between a religious body, and we rend the veil between that, and we find that it's something within in the kingdom of God. And we find that the spirit Jew is the apple of God's eye, and it's the spirit Jew who God's molding and directing and taking care of. So what does that mean when we break it into the physical realm? It means that he's not concerned with the things that are being of this flesh. It means he's not concerned with those things, and he might take and let there be some suffering in your flesh that you would cease from sin. Because there's a rending of a veil there between the inner quickening of the Christ and the outer garment of iniquity, or the veil, the things that would be of the flesh. So then we bring these two worlds that are totally separate one from another, and we start understanding and comprehending God. And when we have religion that brings everything to the flesh, where we read right here about the zeal, they've got all of the zeal and everything is pertaining unto the flesh. Everything that they do is to the flesh, and to the flesh. And that's what happens in the church. It's like, wasn't too long back, it was a minister ran into him, and it was a certain day, and was talking to him about the callings of God, and he said, well, my calling today is to be on the golf course. That's where his mind was at. That's where his thoughts were at. Does it make him evil? Does it make him wretched? Does it make him wrong? No, it was just expose of where he's at, where his mind and where his thoughts were at. Have you ever tried to take and fellowship ministry and ministers and talk to them about the things and the deep things of God? Many times you can't find no fellowship because they're so caught up in their own religious ways and their ideas. Brother Pike said when a minister would come through Little Bethlehem, he said many times it would be several days before he can get all of his zip and all of his zeal and all of his zealousness out of the way and all of his ideas and all of his thoughts, and then get him down where he kind of runs out of steam. Then he said he could start indoctrinating and start teaching them the things of God and start talking to them about the deep things of God and the mysteries of God. When you're speaking by the oracles of God or by the mysteries of God and they're speaking forth and they're sitting there weighing you out the scripture and saying, yeah, but it says this and but it's written. Say, ye that are born of God can't sin. They're saying, yeah, but the Bible said all sin falling short of the glory of God. They're taking scriptures and firing back at you with the word and never feel so religious. And the Jews would do the very same thing. But this was given to us and our father Abraham and our father Isaac. And we saw this great power of God and move of God. But they seen it in the earth and they crucified him. The same God. The same God that was there when all things were created and all things were made. The same God that was there and the same God come and walked among them and they killed him and crucified him. We can go back to great, great men of God. We could talk about Luther, knowing that he was called of God and knowing that he was a church day messenger to bring a message into the world and to stand against the world church of that particular time, Catholicism. And we say a great man of God and we can say, well, that's where we need to be. We need to be in that church of Luther's church. We need to be a Lutheran because of the great things that he did and the great things he stood for. I'd have to backslide and sell my soul to the devil to go be part of that move now. But it was a move of God in the earth, just so was Catholic Church. It was a move of God in the earth, and it took the word of God through the dark ages and preserved it and had these men rewriting these scriptures and keeping it because the papers and things would deteriorate. And at those times, they kept this thing through and it brought the word all the way through and God used it and had his way in it. But I'd have to sell my soul to the devil to be a Catholic in this day and hour to go back into the filth and the immoralities that they're walking in. And they get some man full of dead men's bones, presenting him all around the world and parading him around. And you got to kiss his hand to get into his presence. And I wouldn't bow down to put spittle in his hand. You understand what I'm saying? Because it's nothing but the devil, the Antichrist in the earth, deceiving multiplied millions. See, people draw back when they hear a preacher talk like that. But this man is deceiving multiplied millions of people and leading them into the gates and right into the flames of hell. You understand that? And somebody somebody needs to stand up and say, bless God, this is the way it is. Let's stand on the Word and let every man, every religion be a liar if it isn't in this Word of God. And they're defiled, the Scriptures, in the Word of God, and they're preaching doctrines that are not in this Word. And the men of God in the day and hour that this thing was written and put down on this paper would stand against that kind of foolishness. I don't have one bit iota of fear of speaking against Satan and his domain and his kingdom and his people. The Bible said that if you cannot believe that God is in the flesh, the Bible says that there you are Antichrist. And I was talking with a minister the other day, and he don't believe there's no Antichrist in the earth today. You know why he doesn't believe? Because he is the Antichrist and he can't see himself. The Bible said they look in the mirror and walk away and can't even remember what image that they looked and appeared into. You see, brothers and sisters, we got to have our eyes open and understand what's happening in the spiritual realms and spiritual domains, that we could see and understand good when good comes. So is my battle against those things? No. But what we've got to understand is God moved. We could say William Branham was a great man of God, but am I going to get tied up in a William Branham move today? No, because they've gone into error and turned away from what that man preached. He never taught them to go back and just to stay in his tapes and listen to his books and listen to his tapes and go in their church services and listen to that. He never taught the serpent seed message. He touched on it, but he didn't teach them where they think and like it is, and that they're the only ones. And what we need to do is keep preaching Jesus Christ. We need to keep preaching the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And if Brother George, the people that came up under the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ, they could be just as guilty as what Brother Branham's people were by just continually following after, looking at what God was doing when Brother Pike was alive and not seeing what God is doing today. God is still alive. He's still on the throne. He's still moving. He's still speaking to people. He's still healing, still delivering. God is still active today and still going forth, and we can't just look back at old things or we'll be absolutely as guilty as they were. We need to press on in to the things of God and into the kingdom of God in this day and hour. Yes, we could look back at Brother Pike's. There's much understanding in the books he wrote. I'm sure there must be much in some of the things that Brother Branham wrote. And yes, you could go back and glean and listen, but don't get caught up following after those things. Follow after the Spirit that brought those words forth out of both men of God. It's the Spirit that dwelled within those men that was speaking present day truths. It was the Spirit of God, the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ, that was speaking. And that's what we got to continue to hear, continue to listen for. And we'll find it within a many-membered body, brothers and sisters. We'll find that same mind and that same spirit. If you were raised up under a great man of God like Brother Pike, and you heard those words, and that's the thing that would birth you into the kingdom of God, and that same mind, those same thoughts, those same words should be something as a quickening spirit alive within your heart, and you should be motivated and moved by that same spirit that dwelled within him, and it should be dwelling within your mortal body. You understand that? And it should raise you up from your dead works and from your trespasses in your flesh, and should be alive within you. Amen. The words that you speak should be the words of eternal life, the quickening spirit coming forth out of your mouth. And when you speak, as I started talking to you, as we opened up the sacred desk, it should be Christ speaking through you. The thoughts that are coming forth should be His thoughts coming forth from you. People should see something different about you. If you look like the world, then you're of the world. And you say, well, that's because you judge men after the flesh. No, I judge things after the Spirit, but I know out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. And that's why the Bible said here, if we go back into Romans there, and it talks about we must believe within this heart, and there must be a confession within the mouth. You understand? So when I find an ungodly confession, when I find a confession of defeat, when I find a confession of the things of the world, when I find a confession of the things and the love and the lust and the admiration towards worldly things and fleshly things, that is from the heart. And that is why they are what they are, a child known by his doing. And the high priest of their confession is Satan and the things of the world. And that's who they are of, is of the world of satanic realm, because it's a confession out of their mouth. And when the Bible says from the confession, from believing in God within the heart and confessing with the mouth, it's because in the kingdom of God is down within your innermost being. And there's a daily confession on a daily basis. It isn't a one-time thing. It's because the kingdom of God is in there and you believe in that heart. And there's a confession of righteousness, a confession of holiness, a confession of power, a confession continually coming forth from you. and the power is being made manifest within this mortal body. The power of God, the power of the Holy Ghost. He said that some have the, and they talk about these religious people and talking about the power of God. It said, but they have a form of godliness, but they deny that power. The form of godliness, they seem religious. They seem to show up in the synagogues on Sunday. They seem to show up in the house of God. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power. How do you deny the power of God? What do I do to deny the power of God? It's when you think that you got no power over sin. When you think that you just can't help yourself and find yourself in continual immorality. When you just seem like you can't think, or that you just can't help yourself and find yourself gambling. You just can't help yourself and you find yourself drinking. You just can't help yourself, you find yourself smoking. You just can't help yourself, you find yourself lusting after women and immorality. You just can't help yourself when you're greedy and doing a business deal and you're going to rob and cheat and steal. You just can't help yourself when you're talking to people, you're going to lie and you're going to be untruthful. You just can't help yourself when you want to gossip and sow discord and backbite. You just can't help yourself when you smite the shepherd and speak all matter of evil against them. And you're saying that I just can't help it. It's just something that happens. That means you denied the power of God. Amen. The power of the God, the power of an infilled Holy Ghost person is an overcomer. It is the power to put those things down and to put them under your feet and to tread on the scorpions and the serpents. It is the power, brothers and sisters, manifesting in the earth that makes you different than the people of this world. It is the power of resurrection within you that brings you up and brings you on top of the things and the love and the cares of the world. It is the power that sustains you. It is the power that motivates you. It is the power that makes you speak and makes you walk. It is the power of the invisible spirit world manifesting within your mortal genes, and everything about you is different. That's why the Bible said you are a peculiar people. You understand that? That's why the Bible says that you'll know them by the fruit that they bear. You understand? If the power of the Holy Ghost would not change you and make you that way, then the scriptures would be violated. Amen? And the fruit upon your trees is the fruit of holiness, the fruit of godliness, the fruit of virtue. You understand that? Of love, joy, peace, and long-suffering, and patience, and gentleness. But the Bible teaches us that the fruit of the things of this world and the fruits of the flesh are the things of evil and malice and anger and maliciousness. You understand? And drunkenness and immoralities and all of these things, those are the fruits of the things of the world. Who are you? See, you could lie to yourself. You could deceive yourself and have those things happening within your life and say, well, that's just fruit that somebody else carried over here. How many times have you seen a blackbird fly over and tape an apple on a thorn tree? It don't happen. You know a tree by the fruit. And when that kind of fruit is on your tree, then that's what you are. And you need to get serious with God and start thinking a little bit differently and say, God, I need help. God, I need a Savior. God, I need salvation. God, I need to get delivered from this old religious devil that I got that thinks I'm okay because Mama's a saint of God or because Daddy's a saint of God. Or I need to get delivered from this religious devil because some Baptist preacher prayed for me when I was 12 years old and I said this prayer and he told me I was saved. Just like when I was 12 years old, they gave me a certificate when they baptized me and said that I was saved and this and that. And they gave that certificate absolutely means nothing, brothers and sisters. What means something is when you are full of the Holy Ghost and there is a life of Christ dwelling in you and your speech becomes godly and your confessions become holy. And the thing is we see Christ living in the earth. Then we say, there's a man of God. There's a child of God. I'll show you my fruit of repentance by the things that I do. I'll show you the faith unto salvation in my life by the works that I do. There is a manifestation of faith in the earth, brothers and sisters. And that manifestation is faith is your deeds and your actions unto God. No, you're not saved by those works. No, you're not saved by those deeds, but those things are going to be in your life when you got the saving power of the Holy Ghost because you're going to be about the Father's business. That same resurrection power that dwelled within Christ Jesus that raised Him up from the dead will also dwell in you and it will resurrect and change you, brothers and sisters. And that change is going to happen right now in the earth. Don't be looking for some futuristic thing. It is going to change that mortal body of corruption. It's going to change it right now through the transformation of mind, and we will will see the invisible spirit world manifesting in your life today. We'll see the goodness of Christ manifesting in you. We'll see you swearing to your own hurt. We'll see you denying your own self and your own things and going to make sure that somebody else has those things. We're going to see times that you'd be willing to take and put your family in an awkward situation, or even maybe where there's a time that you're going to have to set faith for even them, for others could have what you have. There's going to be times that you might empty out your cupboards for somebody else that you yourself has to walk and stand in faith, because you know you've never seen the righteous forsaken or their seed begging for bread. And you have this faith and this trust in God. And it don't matter where you find yourself, or it don't matter where you're at, you know that you got confidence in Him because you're His child. You're a blood-bought child of the King, and you know that He's going to provide for you. He's going to move in your behalf. He's going to take care of you. He's never going to forsake you in any way. Can anybody in here testify to the fact that God has forsook them somewhere along the way? Have you cursed God somewhere in your life and think, where is He at? Amen. You think about the little poem that they said. How come it seems like at them tough times there was only one set of footprints in the sand? It's because it's where He was carrying you. And you've never been through anything in your life that God did not allow. Evil can't come to the city lest I send it, saith the Lord. And you've never been through any kind of evil or any kind of thing that He didn't allow. And you see, He's more concerned for your eternal spirit walk and spiritual well-being. And you ain't found yourself anywhere except God allowed that, and He got you there and He put you there and allowed you to be there for that you could consider your ways. And that you could make some considerations of eternity. On the day of adversity, consider your ways, the Bible says. So when you find yourself in prison, when you find yourself beat up in the bars, when you find yourself doped up and they say that you about lost your life, or when you find yourself with all matter of evil coming against you, when you find you can't pay your bills, when you find that it seems like everything's a problem, the Bible says to consider your ways. We could ever be so religious. We could say, oh, you know, this and that, but consider your ways. Amen. God is a God of prosperity and a God of blessing. So you say that if I'm having troubles, that I'm not of God? No, I didn't say that. Because I do know that if you are of God, you can have troubles when you ain't living right. When you ain't doing right, you ain't sacrificing to God, and you're walking in your own will, your own thoughts, your own mind, doing it your way and the way you think it should be, then you might have adversity in your life, and He might shake your little foundation a little bit. You might find yourself on your knees pleading with God to please open up a job for you, or something that you could pay your light bill. You see, and He's molding you, and He's helping you, and He's correcting you on those days of such. So again, line upon line, precept upon precept, we need to think, we need to consider. We need to stay with the Word of God. So if we find these things written, looking at the Book of Shadows, what good does the Book of Shadows do for us? When we find the light shining across the object and making the shadows, what good is the Book of Shadows? Sometimes the shadows can make us understand the object and where the light's coming from by knowing where the shadows are at. I remember Pike used to sing the song about the shadows lengthening. Brothers and sisters, when we read about our forefathers in the Gospel, and we read about the shadows, and we read about those things, we better understand what made those shadows, and it's your life. You are in the object realm. You are a physical being. And the light's going to hit this physical being and cast a shadow. What kind of shadow is your life casting? What do people see? The Bible says you're written in epistles and read and known of all men. What is an epistle? It's the Word of God. So if you're written an epistle, read and known of all men, and people talk about this book of Satan and the satanic Bible, what kind of epistle are you? Are you an epistle of satanic influence and satanic power? And when people see and they look at your life and they think about your life, is that what they see? All matter of evil and wickedness and immorality? And you say, that's just to show the love of God. Yeah, it'll show the love of God when He takes you out of the mire and the clay and changes you and cleans you up. It most definitely show the love of God. Amen. But the love of God ain't made manifest while you're in it. The power of God ain't made manifest while you're out there slopping around in it. It never will. Power of God is the power of overcome. The power to come out of that unclean thing and to be a separate people. The power to bring every thought into captivity. We ministered the other night on thoughts, which we do always so often. We need to change the way we think. I'm a child of God. This is the way a child of God thinks. Start meditating on Him and His thoughts. Start thinking like Him. Don't think like the world thinks. Don't think like the psychologists teach you to think, or the psychiatrists, or the school teachers in school teach you to think in the perspective of worldly school system and a worldly order. Think like God wants you to think. Think of who you are. You're the apple of His eye. You're His elect. And if you start thinking that way and start believing that way, then the things that you do in your life are going to be towards Him and pleasing to Him. And when you think like that, then when you do something that would cross Him up, and you do something that brings condemnation within your thoughts where you want to hang your head down out of embarrassment because of those things, you'll easily put those things behind you because you don't want to feel that way. How many times have we stood before a judge? I've been there in my natural life when I was disobedient and before I knew God. How many times you stood before the judge and you think, Judge, show some mercy to me. Come on, Judge, show me just a little bit of mercy, man. You know, hey, you know, I messed up. I was drinking a little bit too much that night. And this and that, show me a little mercy. But you know, let me tell you something. When you stand before a living God, there is not going to be no mercy. You say, that's not what the Bible says. This is the mercies of God right now. This is the only mercies of God that you will see, brothers and sisters, is the God-man standing in the earth showing you mercy, saying you need to change from your ways and you need to repent. Don't let devil run your life. Don't let the devil just eat your life up and take and run your whole life away. Here's Bob, 50-some years old, thinking, you know what? I've been guilty, Brother Rob. I let the devil rob my life, and it's by the grace of God that He even let him come in and have life. How do you know that maybe when you're 50 that He'll even give you a chance of repentance? How do you know that even at 40 He'll give you a chance of repentance because you just wasted your youth? How come you think God wants to take your life after you used it all up in the frolics of the world? And you think, and you're going out there and used up all your strength, and then you want to bring Him a sacrifice that's dead and no good. How about a woman that's nothing but a harlot and gives all of her youth and strength to the frolics of the flesh and selling herself just to anybody that would give her the time of day and the time of night? And then she comes in at a late age and thinking, well, you know, I'm going to give God my life now. What makes you think He wants it? The Bible said that His Spirit doesn't always strive with man. And no man comes to the Father lest the Spirit draws. What makes you think He's drawn? You see, Esau couldn't find it, could he? Judas went back, and the thing that he betrayed the Lord Jesus with, he threw it on the temple floor, and he sought God with repentance, and he couldn't find it, and went out and hung himself. You understand that? So you see, we don't need to have these religious thoughts thinking that I'm going to just go ahead and give my life to the devil and frolic, and then God's there for me to call on. He ain't there for you to call on. You better be there for Him to call on you. It's not a matter of you knowing God. It's a matter of Him knowing you, like we read in the Scriptures Friday night. It isn't a matter of that. You can say, I know Him, but does He know you? Makes a lot of difference. Does He know you? Does He hear your voice when you cry out? That makes a lot of difference, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you, let Him know you. Have that relationship with Him. Find yourself entering into that secret place with Him and finding that relationship. Don't let it go to a point of being too late. Don't keep on frolicking away your life. Don't come in and show repentance for a couple days and then go back to your ways. Get a true, genuine, born-again experience in a relationship with God. Serve Him. Give Him everything. Your life is nothing, but it's here like a vapor and a mist. It's here for a moment and gone. I know when you're 25, 30 years old, when you're 15 years old, 12 years old, or whatever, it seems like, boy, it's such a long time. You're waiting for summer when you're in school, and it just seems like forever. But let me tell you, the older you get, all of a sudden, it just seems like yesterday. I can remember my daughter Sandy going to kindergarten, and I think back a little more, and I can remember me going to kindergarten. And you think back like that, and you say, then here's your grandkids going to kindergarten. Then what's next? Here you think of putting grandpa in a box. And then next thing they're going to be thinking they're putting you in a box. And then the next thing it's your children getting put in a box. You understand? All the earth is going after the same thing. All flesh is going the same way. Don't fear that thing. That isn't what death is. Death is what you witness and see out here in the earth. They're dead men, full of dead men's bones. Whitewashed sepulchers, some twice dead. That's how you need to understand death. Don't fear that thing if God tarries and they put a man in a box. Don't look at that as what death is. Don't look at what you say life is when you see the expression of life as a little child being born. Because the minute that child sucks in that first breath of air, there's the death sentence. And that little child's got the sentence of death right then. And it's going right way all flesh goes. So you see, you got to learn to where you're looking and what you're understanding and what you comprehend life as to be. Just like many people think repentance is, a man comes and cries and says, oh God, forgive me, I've been so wretched. Oh, I've been so wretched, I've done you wrong, I've done everybody wrong. They say, there's repentance. That's not repentance to me. A lot of times that's just flattery words of the devil. You say, but does repentance come in that form? Oh, most definitely it can. But you know what the Scriptures looked for and the men of God looked for? They looked for fruit. of the repentance. You could say, I'm a child of God, and I'm going to look for fruit of a child of God in your life. And if you can say that you're a child of God, then I'm going to see fruit of that child being upon the tree. And I'm going to see a child known by the fruit that it bears. You understand? I'm not going to go by what you say. I'm going to go by what I see. And you say, but the Bible says, know no man after the flesh. So you can't look at me and judge me after the flesh. I'm not. I'm judging you after the Spirit, because the Spirit goes to where that nature's at. And when you're full of the Holy Ghost, that nature's going to put forth the fruit of the Spirit of God in your tree. You understand that? So I'm not judging you by the flesh. I'm judging you by the fruit that's hanging upon that tree. Amen. So you could say, I'm a child of God and I've repented. I've been born again. And that's what I'm going to be looking for. And I'm going to follow you as you follow Christ. Or you follow me as I follow Christ. Or I'm going to know you after the Spirit. I'm going to know you after the things that I see. So words don't move me, brothers and sisters. Vibrations to these ears. You could say all the right things, and that doesn't move me. What I look for is a change within that heart, within that life. A change to the perspective of the transformation of mind and thought. And when that transformation of mind and thought comes forth, it's because that heart of that invisible spirit world is shining forth into that, and will see it upon your tree. And the world will see it. If it wasn't that way, then Jesus came in vain. But you see, they saw. Not all saw it. But it was still there. Jesus' life was a life of conformity to the Word of God. And he conformed to the Word of God. Right here in this word, it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Amen. And that's the way it is with you. You need to be conformed to the image of God. And if you walk in the conformity to the image of God, that means we're going to see the fruits of spirit life manifesting in every move and every action and everything you do. Brother Rob, does that leave us time to work? Amen. You're going to labor as unto the Lord. You're going to labor that you have to give. Does it give us time to sleep? You're going to rest, for you can have rest, for you can have strength to be about the Father's business. Does it give us time to eat? Yes, you're going to eat, for you can have strength in that body that you could be about the Lord's business. Everything that you do, brothers and sisters, it needs to line up with something for the Word of God and the Kingdom of God. You may find yourself on a natural job, and a natural job should be important to you, to be a testimony to your employers, to be a testimony to the people that you're working for, and that you could show Christ in a long-suffering life when you're there and looking for an opportunity to witness and to testify God. And sometimes it could be adversity on your job, for you could show that you're not going to be moved by the things of this world. Sometimes it could be allegations and accusations on your job, just as they gave them to Jesus, and it's there for you could show the love of God and the willing to say, go ahead and drive the nails in my hands. I know, God forgive them. God forgive you. I know that you're taking advantage of me because of my kindness, but you know what? I'm going to show you the love of God anyway. That's how we win souls, brothers and sisters, and that's the opportunities that we're looking for when we work. That's the opportunities we're looking for when we're out here anywhere and any place that we go, that we look for. I think when we went to Washington for Jesus and we think, well, this is where all the Christians are at, and you try to hand them a track and they snub you. I don't want that. Man, I'm already saved. And I'd say, well, this isn't a track unto salvation. This is sheep food, something that you could eat to help you in your daily walk. And you'd watch them take it and throw it in a trash can. How can you do that and call yourself a spirit-filled individual or a Holy Ghost-filled person? How could you be too quick to answer in a situation like that? Maybe we need to hear the end of the matter. Maybe that was somebody handing something that would bring life to you. Are you too quick yourself when it comes to those things? Are you too quick when you see a man because he calls himself Baptist or Methodist or Episcopalian to say, well, this is a heathen, this is a child of the devil? Are you quick to do that? I know many saints have got to come out of that kind of stuff. He said that he'll bring you out of the mire. And sometimes he'll bring you out of the mire of a religious world and a religious life. Let's go back and think of a Jew that crucified Christ. They were ever so religious and they wouldn't listen to anybody. Who are you to tell me, man, I've studied under this man's feet, I've given my life here, I've done this, I've done that. And they wouldn't hear when good came. Who needed to hear? Could you be guilty of that yourself? Could you ever just be a religious person and think, well, bless God, nobody's going to tell me what I am or who I am. I know what I am. And yes, there should be a confidence in Christ in your heart when you're truly born again. But then yet there should be also a challenge to you in the Word of God that you could think, now, wait a minute. Is all my indoctrination sound? Is all my indoctrination right? Believe me, I'm a minister and I preach the Word of God. And if somebody comes and contests something with me, I'm going to give ear. I'm going to say, okay, let's listen. Let's go to the Word of God. Let's go to the Scriptures. I don't think that I've come to some place in God that I might not stumble or stagger, brothers and sisters. I know that we might err, but the Bible said He hadn't given us a spirit of error. And a spirit of error is when you're in continual error and continual error. Believe me, I was a preacher and preaching the gospel, and I found error and things, and God was checking my spirit. And He led me to a place to get those things straightened out and right within my life, and I'm so thankful to that. But what if I would have just been a religious individual, like the Jews were there, and just said, well, bless God, I know I'm right. It's like a man said, well, you know, when I used to be involved over here with this, they said that we were right. It's like the man told me the day, didn't think I could be right if it doesn't say Baptist on the door. And the man is ever so lost. I mean, ever. And you say, well, how could you make a judgment like that? Because I seen the Antichrist and the devil speaking forth from him and rise up. You say, well, maybe he was like Peter and he just gave place that thing. But you see, it's not a continual error. You know good when good comes and you hear good when good comes. You understand and you receive the Word, and the Word and the Holy Ghost, it'll lead you into all truth. And when a man was so adamant and standing against the truth with such an overconfidence, that's a man without the Holy Ghost. You can take that or leave it. You think he can be saved, Brother Rom? Well, he's going to have to find some hard knocks somewhere along life's trail to get him to shake up and think, now, wait a minute, God, help me. But when the Lord Jesus Christ stood in His presence speaking out of the mouth of a minister, and He denied and threatened to even drive a rod through him, and you say, ah, that was just a matter of expression. No, there was an anger that if he thought for 1 second, thus saith the Lord, that he could have got by with that, yeah, he would have done that. Because the same devil of hell that crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, that screamed while they had him on the cross of Calvary and screamed while they were dragging him down the road saying, crucify him. That same devil of hell was in the fullness manifesting within this man. There was the same anger and the same animosity that if there was a group of people that would come and take a man of God in this day and hour and take him out to stone him, he would have been right there with them and thinking he was about the Father's business. Is that what the Bible said that they will do in the end times? And I've seen it with my very own eyes. What are you judging, Brother Rob? I'm judging the Antichrist and the spirit of the devil. It's alive within the earth in this day and hour. And that's exactly the way it is. What do we say, brothers and sisters? We need to start learning to look beyond the veil. That's what the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ is. It's looking beyond the veil. That word revelation comes from a word apocalypse, and that means beyond the veil. And we got to learn to look beyond the veil. And the thing is if you do everything that you do is on this side of the veil, you've never entered into the Holy of Holies. You might have come through a blood sanctimony. You might have come into the outer courts. But I'm telling you, we got to get beyond that. We got to get into the Holy of Holies. That's the place. There's a place of preparation. And you'll find a place of preparation by hearing the Word of God. You'll find a place of preparation by hearing that Word. And if you are God's elect, then you'll hear the Word. And you'll know it's God speaking to you, and you'll say, God, have mercy on me. God, I've failed, I've stumbled, I've staggered, I've done all these things. I'll tell this for Sam's sake. I'll tell this for anybody's sake. I told Terry this when he was off out in the world. I told this to Pete at one particular time. I've said this to Bob. I've said this to every individual in this church. I said, wherever you have failed, whatever you've given place to the works of darkness and to Satan, whatever it is, if it's anger, if it's malice, if it's immorality, if it's drunkenness, if it's dope, if it's breaking the law, you will most definitely ride the trail again. Every time, every one of you. The very thing that got Sam in trouble, he's going to come face to face with it, and he's either going to conquer it or surrender into it. The very thing that each and every one of you have done at different times in your life, because the Bible said that we're more than conquerors. And the thing is, we got to prove our conquering ability right here on this earth. You say, well, God done it for me. That's right. He done it for you and sent you the Holy Ghost that you could do the same. So if you failed somewhere, don't think that you've got a beyond that thing and over that thing until you conquer it, because it's going to come to you again, the very same thing. I don't care what the sin is. I don't care what the immorality is. I don't care what it is. You'll come till you conquer it. When I got saved, I had a temper. I raised up in a house and my dad taught us, don't come home crying to me. And when I'm in high school, I got big enough to think I could whoop the teachers. And it caused Dad a lot of problems because I was thrown out of school. Teacher was too big. I'd pick up something to equalize it just a little bit. I remember slamming a teacher in the face with a garbage can. That was the first day of school and my last day at that particular school. But that was something that he put within me. But you know, we got a spiritual Father, a heavenly Father. And what we got to do is recognize those attributes that are in our life from our first birth. And we've got to kill those things and conquer those things. After I got saved, after I come to an understanding of the truth and God started taking me down a trail, He started dealing with me. Get away from the drinking, get away from the drugs, get away from the immoral thoughts and immoralities and start living right and start doing right. And then all of a sudden I find myself rolling around in the asphalt with a guy fighting. And I'm thinking, is this the action of a child of God? I'll tell you what. I would have rather let somebody whoop me as go what I felt in my heart. I felt so unclean and so ungodly in my heart. So then all of a sudden God brought me to a thing of anger and dealing with this. And I remember a man talking to me. He said, you know what, Rob, you're going to have to whip that thing. You're going to go through it again. Guess what I was doing in less than 2 weeks? I was rolling around in the dirt again with a guy. I was in a job with Roughnecks. I was out in the oil field. And these are a rough bunch of guys, man. That's all they do is fight and party and drink. Go out and make money and go back and fight, party, and drink. And there was something in me. And it was called the devil himself, man. It was from the first birth. And it was in my flesh. And here I am out there again doing it. I said, oh, gosh. And he said, it ain't going to do nothing but get worse until you conquer that thing. And I went on a job. And I had a man in my face. And I just looked at him and smiled. And I walked away whistling a gospel hymn. And all of a sudden, there was some humility I had to go through because there was a macho thing in me that thought, well, bless God. You know, I ain't going to let nobody talk to me that way. I ain't going to let nobody do me that way. Bless God, I'm a man. And here's the guys coming to me. And on that particular job, because of me crucifying my flesh, I led about 4 or 5 men to the Lord Jesus Christ right there on that job. Why? Because they seen a crucified life. It wasn't because I went out there and fought. It wasn't because of anything, of a fancy demonstration of talk. It's because they seen a crucifixion. I let them speak to me. I let them curse me. I let them cuss me. I let them make me do things that wasn't even my job to do. And I just went on. I said, God, if this is what it is, I'm not going through that no more. I'm going to whip this thing and I'm going to defeat this thing. And that very man, I told you this, that when this job got done and we rigged this thing down, I went up to him and I said, sir, I really appreciated the job. I really needed it. The thing is that man just about broke his spirit. That man might be a son of God today because of the very thing, the way he entreated me. And I rivaled back, not. I just swore to my own hurt and suffered the wrong. And went away, I learned something, brothers and sisters, that the battle isn't against flesh and blood. The battle wasn't with that man. Yes, I could think natural and carnal and think I had every right to whip that man for him doing me wrong, and I could have felt justified in doing that. I could have went to the scriptures and said, you know, Jesus went into the temple and kicked the tables over and took a whip with anger and drove him out to him and said, man, I got every right to do that. But see, it was something beyond that. There was God doing something in my heart. And he showed me that I am greater than a conqueror and that I can conquer anger. And I can conquer that spirit that was in me, in my flesh. And I conquered it. And I'll tell you what, has it ever come back? Amen. That thing will come lurking around. The Bible says, draw nigh unto God and resist the devil, and he'll flee. And when he comes back around is when we're not resisting that thing, when it comes back around. And the only reason he'll stay around because he can find strength within you. He can find a place of strengthening and manifest. But if you don't leave him room to manifest, guess what he's going to do? He's going to go somewhere else and manifest. Because if he can't manifest what he is, then why be there? Why, if I'm called to preach, why would I go somewhere where they wouldn't let you preach? Or why go somewhere where they don't want to hear preaching? Why would a devil that wants to get his indoctrination, if it's anger, if it's wrath, if it's immorality, why would he want to stick around anywhere when he can't manifest what he wants to do? So he'll leave. That's why we draw nigh unto God and resist the devil and he flees. We think, well, this is where we got the power and the Holy Ghost. We say, I rebuke you, Satan, depart from me. He might just laugh back at you and say, hey, Jesus I know, but who are you? Is there authority in that? Where's the authority come from? The authority comes in manifestation of you manifesting the power and authority of God. And they'll recognize it and they will leave. So what is it in your life? Is it bitterness? Is it anger? Malice? Backbiting? Discord? Stealing? Lying? Cheating? Drunkenness? What is it? You got to conquer it. And the only way you're going to do that is by drawing nigh unto God and resisting those things, whatever they are. Resisting the things of the devil, and all those things are the fruits of the devil and his work. And you'll have to resist those things. And as you resist those things, they will flee. And then you'll conquer it and whip it. You can justify it. You can say you have the right to do whatever it is. But I'm telling you, God has allowed those things to come into your presence for you to exercise the authority and the power over the flesh. All those things come in again. It don't matter where you've been. It don't matter what you've done. God will forgive you. He'll clean you and pull you out of the mire clay and help you. And those sayings that you've been will be a stepping stone. And they'll be a stepping stone for you to put your foot on to go to a greater place with God and to go into greater places with Him. The things is where you failed with God, you'll get a chance to deal with those things. Think of walking in God of a 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold of going up a staircase into the heights with God. And as long as you're going along, there might be something on that stair tread right there that you're looking at right in front of you that you got to step up over. And it might be lying. And there's no way around that. You're going to deal with that until you get over that. And you're going to have to step up on top of that thing. And the thing is then the next one might be bitterness. The next one might be gossip and backbiting. And you'll come to that and you'll say, wow. And you might look up ahead and say, hey, this one I could handle. This one up here I can handle. I can deal with drunkenness. I can deal with this or that. And you think, I'm just going to go deal with that one. It don't work that way. There's going to be something and you're going to stand right there and you'll never go nowhere with God. You might ever be religious. You might ever be in church. You might ever do that, but that is where you're at and you've got to deal with that. And once you deal with that, you'll step up and then God will show you the next one. And this is why as Christians, brothers and sisters, you need to be careful when you're speaking to people and talking with people. You got to see which tread they're standing on and help them in that to go to the next one. And sometimes you're wanting to take them up there where you've been many years in the gospel and in the word, and you're taking them up here dealing with them and issues up there, and they even got past the simplistic things. And sometimes we just need to stay with the simple things of salvation and the simple things of God and the grace and the mercies of God. But how long do we stay there? God forbid. How long do we keep laying again the foundation of repentance? How long do we keep on doing those things when we're commanded to go into greater things, into doctrines of baptism, doctrines of faith? We're commanded to go on into those things. So consider it, brothers and sisters. God's speaking to you. We don't want to go too far. We don't want to get to a place that God's no longer drawn. We don't want to just think, take God for granted. I'm going to say one more thing for you to consider and to think about. If you're a man and ever been done wrong by a woman of immorality when you loved her and she went out and done that, there's a time that you could show mercies and forgiveness and bring them back in because you have that much love. Because that's what God does to you when He brings you in. Because you've been nothing but an adulterer in the eyes of God when you have love of the world and friendship with the world. So God shows His mercy by bringing you back in. But then the thing is how many times are you going to do that? Now we put it to you as a man. How many times are you going to let the woman go back right out in the world and frolic and frolic and frolic and frolic and frolic with other men? And when are you going to say that's enough? But according to the scriptures, I have right to put her away. So I'm going to do that. And I'm going to put her away. Can God do that with you? Come on now, everything fits, brothers and sisters. All things fit in every single dimension. And there is a right. And when God says, that's it, I'm done, and puts you away, you say, what is the mark of the beast? You know, when is this thing going to happen? But the Bible said, mark them. It says if you bring that first admonishing or that second admonishing, then depart. If you perceive there's no understanding, man, just leave and go from him. Brothers and sisters, I like to preach the mercies of God and the grace of God. Amen. And I tell you, but we need to understand the things I'm talking about this morning. We need to know that God is a loving God, a forgiving God. We can know that you've been out there in the filth of the world, and He loves you so much, He gave His life for you. And that He'll pull you up and cleanse you and make you whole. Amen. I like to preach that message because it's the truth. But on the other hand, we need to consider, how long is He going to allow that if His Spirit doesn't always strive with man? Once you've come to the knowledge of the truth and tasted of the world to come, once you've been enlightened by these heavenly things and this Word of God and done that, and then you go right back in it, there remaineth no more sacrifice for willful sin according to the Scriptures. And that you have looked forward to one thing, and that's the fiery indignation of God. And it might be, how does that happen? It might be prison. It might be car wrecks. It might be all kinds of things. The fiery indignation of God chastening you on this side. Some men's sins go before them, some after. So maybe the things and the places you've been is God chastening you, saying, hey, is this the life you want to live? Is this the way you want to do? Is this the way you want to be? But then He can turn away and say, go on, Balaam, do whatever you're going to do. So be it. And then you think you're in the blessings of God and just go on. May even think you have God. Conscience being seared over with a hot iron. You see, beasts don't have a conscience. And when a man's a beast, the conscience seared over and there's no consciousness to what they do. That's why they can go out and ravish a child or a woman. because there's no conscience there, because they're beasts made to be taken and burned. Today's your day. Today's the day of salvation. Today's the day to give your heart to God. Today's the day to change your life. Today's the day to serve notice to the devil that you're tired of him pressing you. You're tired of him taking your life. You may think, I do what I want to do. I do it when I want to do it because I'm controlling this life. No, it isn't that way at all. It's either you're being controlled by one of two worlds. It's either the spirit of darkness or the spirit of light. And if your father isn't God, then your father is the devil. You're born of one of the two. And the thing is you need to realize who you are of, and then you need to start claiming the kingdom that you serve and dwell in, and don't give that kingdom to Satan. And you need to fight against the principalities and the powers of darkness and wickedness and evil, and you need to fight against those things. Those fallen spirits of darkness, they are looking for a place to manifest, a place that they could live and have domain. So they're looking and they're searching in the dry places. And if you yield yourself to those spirits, then they're going to come in and manifest through you. The devil will be the one that's speaking through you. Or it's going to be God speaking through you. You understand that? So what you have to do is watch for those spirits, whatever they are, and take authority and control those things. You have that ability in God. He has given you the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the power of God in the earth today. And He's given that to you. You just have to simply believe and have faith and pray and trust. And as you do that, then He'll fill you to overflowing with the power of God, that you can overcome the adversary, the devil. And there ain't anything, no principality, no power, no death, nor hell. Nothing can pluck you out of the hands of God, nothing whatsoever. You might stumble, you might stagger, but He'll pick you back up and He'll set you on top of those things and make you an overcomer because you're victorious in Christ. Amen. Let's sing a song or two. The altars are open. Hallelujah. This is your day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. Hallelujah.
Come home, it's supper time. The shadows lengthen fast. Come home, it's supper time.
Hallelujah. Just let Him minister to your heart. Praise You, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Is the Spirit of God speaking to you? If you close your eyes and you forget about tomorrow and yesterday, can you find God pulling on your heart? Can you find that Spirit drawing you? Is those shadows lengthening in your life?
Come home, it's supper time.
When I gave my heart and life to the Lord, I was about 21 years old. When I really turned my life around, I felt so ashamed of God that I let the devil have my first 21 years. I felt so terrible about that.
To dwell till evening shadow fell.
Hallelujah. Let Him minister to
you. Winding
your heart.
Down an old familiar pathway. I could hear my mother's
Hallelujah.
Voice at supper
time. Thank You,
Jesus.
Praise You, Lord. Love Him.
Say, come home.
Is God beckoning you to come home? Are you a child of God?
Oh, the
Hallelujah.
So high.
Thank You, Lord.
Come home. It's
Are you that prodigal
time.
Been out in the world and the cares of the world.
We are going.
Is the Spirit of God drawing you into a place?
Hallelujah.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come and worship with us. Our services are on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we also have a Friday night service at 7 p.m. We are located at 304 Green Oak Drive, just off Highway 62 in Archdale. Thanks again, and may God richly bless you.